Hello, Chichillers here. We interrupt the daily grind of the mundane and hyperbolous banter to bring you this extraordinary and astonishing broadcast.
It is time to cast off words of darkness. It is time.
Yes, it is. Once again, it's time. For it is time. Extraordinary and astonishing, we've come to you in the realm of the Spirit, seated upon the throne of God at the right hand of Jesus, just seated in heavenly places, thanking God for what we have in Him. We live and move and have our being. My name's Ed Gutfeld. We're glad you're with us on the broadcast today. And we have so much good stuff lined up that we just don't want to delay at all. We want to get right into it. This is Steve Mitchinson and that powerful song, It's Time for the Reign of God. Fasten your seatbelt because we're ready to do some mighty things to be overcomers in Christ. It's time for the Reign of God.
Time.
Yeah, Steve Mitchinson with Brian Dokerson, and it's time for the Reign of God. It's time. We're glad you're with us. This is a program called It Is Time, a timely message in the times of the Gentiles for the times and seasons of our life. We have a powerful program lined up today, and it's about faith, faith that overcomes. Yeah. Somebody said, well, of course faith overcomes. Why do you have to even say overcomes? Faith, of course, overcomes. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, because the reason we do that is because some people substitute a different kind of faith. There's two kinds of faith. There's faith that we have in ourselves, and there's faith we can have in God. There's faith that looks like faith that's not faith. Did you know that? It's called mental assent, where we mentally agree with what is being stated, but we don't actually do anything about it. And it would be like, I believe, you know, in this great thing, but we never put it, put a person put it to me one time, there's a nonprofit organization. Do you believe in this nonprofit organization? The guy said, yeah, of course I believe in it. And the guy said, well, how much did you give last year? He goes, well, you know, I didn't give anything. Well, then you don't believe in it. You mentally agree with it, but you're actually, faith is an action word. Faith is an act. The old English preacher, Smith Wigglesworth, would say it this way. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. It's an act. It's an act. You got to act on it. Faith is an act. And so without action, you don't have faith. And so there's a kind of faith that looks like faith, sounds like faith. And I believe in all the promises of God. Oh, I believe what God said. Oh, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. And yet, when you really follow that person around all day, and sometimes me and sometimes you, maybe we didn't really do actions of faith. So we can all use a faith boost. We can all use, on a regular basis, good teaching on faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you could put it this way, without corresponding actions, James put it this way, without corresponding actions to what you're saying and thinking, you're not pleasing God, because it's not really faith. So we're challenging us today. I'm challenging myself to have a tune-up of faith that overcomes. So, but I wanted to let you know that our sponsor is 2 Core 10-4. So let's give a listen. Our sponsor this half hour is 2 Core 10-4. Has your mind been plagued and bombarded with the high traffic of vain imaginations? Have the thoughts and accusations from the father of lies been jamming and congesting the freeways of your mind? Do human reasonings and haughty intellectual arrogance overcrowd and clog the corridors and throughways of your thinking? Then it's time you try 2 Core 10-4. 2 Core 10-4 was first introduced by the Apostle Paul around 56 AD. 2 Core 10-4 carries the anointing of God and has been overpowering mental congestion for centuries. Known by its full name, 2 Corinthians 10-4, this passage of Spirit and Life has been eliminating stress and anxiety through its authoritative casting down power. Yes, the thoughts are cast down when the believer addresses them so in the mighty name of Jesus. When this gospel is applied, the mental traffic and congestion is cleared up and all thoughts of peace prevail. When 2 Core 10-4 is on the job, the traffic report is clear and smooth sailing. You can find 2 Core 10-4 in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians and just before Galatians. 2 Core 10-4, a spiritual weapon to fight and beat the mental traffic jam. Apply it today and be at peace in moments. 2 Core 10-4. Yeah, you take 2 Corinthians 10-4. You can take it on the job. You can take it. I take it when I do this broadcast. Yeah. You know, I can operate heavy machinery and the mouse and the mic still work. I can still function and with accuracy, with brilliance of the Holy Spirit, because God is my helper, and I look to Him completely to help us. And the brilliance comes from the radiance of His light. The light of God has shined upon us, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Gross darkness covers the earth, but praise God, darkness covers the people, gross darkness to people rather, but praise God, we can arise and shine. Our light has come, and that's what we do. We trust God to do that with us. Well, we're talking about the subject of faith that overcomes as opposed to mental assent that just agrees. And so when we think of the things that we can act upon, that we think of, you know, the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the subject. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we're going to walk by faith, we have to look by things that are not seen. Say, how can I do that? Well, you got to find out. You got a person that cannot see in the natural has to find out about their surroundings. And so what we need to do is find out about our surroundings from what God said. We can see everything. If you have natural sight, you can see everything around you. But what do you believe about what you see? Because if you only believe what you see, you will end up in a situation where you're talking about what you see only, and you'll always be a reporter instead of a believer. Reporters say what they see. Believers say what they believe. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, what about the story of Rahab in the Bible? You know, the spies came to there and they said, hey, can you protect me? I want to be saved. He said, well, if you want to be saved, then you have to help us. When they spy out Jericho and they come in there, you're going to have to hide us in here. And you have to put a red scarlet thread of redemption, a scarlet thread, so we can see where you are and so we can go into your place and be hid. And she said, okay. Well, see, if Rahab hadn't actually done that, she wouldn't have had faith, and she would have been destroyed with the rest of the people in Jericho. But she was saved. And Noah, had he not built the ark, had he just said, okay, God, I believe you, yes, Lord, and you know, just every day just took naps and just, you know, kind of went around and fed the sheep and whatnot. And here comes the flood. Whoa, what's this water stuff? I told you to build the boat. Well, yeah, but I know, but it was hard. And my neighbors were laughing at me and I didn't have time. And besides that, you know, my football team has been in the playoffs the last 6 years. I didn't have much time to do that. Well, you know, there's no faith there. But instead he built the boat when the flood came, the ark was ready and his whole family got saved. And thank God for that. So we need to have overcoming faith. Faith that overcomes is faith that talks faith, acts faith, walks faith, sleeps faith. It just acts on what it knows, it obeys, and it overcomes. And that's the kind of faith that we have. This is the Imperials. He's talking about it being an overcomer.
Believe that we receive, we can have our heart's desires as well as the things we need,
as the things we need.
We can speak to mountains and they would be removed, and everything will prosper that we set our hands to do. With God's unlimited ability, all things are possible. Them that believe, overcomer, born of God. We are joy, theirs with Jesus Christ. Ruling over circumstances, fearless in this life. Protected by our shield of faith and using the power of His name. The battle's been won. Driven by the wind, strengthened in the inner man, we are made complete in Him. Holding forth the word of life, we boldly speak the truth, that through the power of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that we can do. If God be for us, who can stop us now? Turning this whole wide world around, overcomer, born of God.
Those are the Imperials, Overcomer. And that's exactly true. You know, that's talking about praying the prayer of faith. It's talking about seeing things that be not as though they were, calling things that be not as though they were, rather. And it talks about the things of faith, speaking to mountains, being fearless. You say, how can you get those things? You get them from God. God is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And God declares the end from the beginning. These are concepts that of faith that people sometimes stumble over because the natural mind cannot really receive these things because we're so trained to be ruled by our senses, our five physical senses, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell. And if we can't touch it, see it, taste it, smell, somebody said, I'm a realist. I'm a realist. Well, okay, what does that mean? If I can't see it, I don't believe it. I'm in the show me state. I'm in the state of show me. And that's not faith at all. That's just anybody can have that. And there's a certain amount of that that's wise because, I mean, if a car is coming and you can see it, by all means, get out of the way. And don't let the car overrun you. You know, don't do that. That would be silly to sit there and get run over by a car. So our senses are given to us for a good reason. And there's many ways we use our senses. And when we eat, we appreciate tastes and so forth. But we can't be ruled by our spiritual life, by our senses. We have to be ruled by something that's of a greater authority. And it comes to truth. And truth is the word of God. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Somebody said, how can you believe the Bible is true? Well, it is not only true where it comes to living our life in daily practicality, such as morals that are put there in the word of God to help us not violate ourselves, not to violate our neighbors. Without God speaking the Ten Commandments and things like that, people wouldn't know what to do. They would just arbitrarily act on whatever they wanted to do. But God said, you need a plumb line. You need a benchmark. You need something that's absolutely true, a rock of Gibraltar, if you will, something that will never move with time, something that's real and true. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, it is written. He didn't say, I thought it up. He said, it is written. So the word of God is true. And the prophecies in the Bible are true. And these things give us a foundation for what to believe. And I'll tell you what, after 35 years of my life, I can tell you the word of God is true. You act on it, you violate it, and it'll hurt you. But on the contrary wise, if you believe it and you act on it, you're going to be blessed. And something good is going to come of it. And so don't violate that. So we have faith. We can have faith. We can call things that be not as though they were, because God knows the beginning from the end. He calls the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen in the latter days. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he tells us what these perilous times are. So God knows what's down the road. So if we listen to him and he tells us, I want you to speak to that mountain, command it to be cast into the sea. What mountain? The mountain of care. Cares that I have, the mountain of stress, the mountain of financial lack, the mountain of sickness, the mountain, all kinds of mountains in our life. He says, I want you to speak to those mountains. And if you'll speak to those mountains, they will fall into the sea. And so we begin to move in an area of life that we've never thought about before. We become mountain movers. Why? Because we're overcomers. He that overcomes the world is he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. And then he says this is the victory in 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, overcomes the mountains, even our faith. And then finally, Jesus put it all together in Mark 11:24. Actually, it's verse 22. He said, have faith in God. And then he teaches us how to have faith. How do you have faith in God? Is it mental belief? No, it's words and heart together with actions. Action based upon belief supported by confidence. What somebody taught, ABC, actions based upon belief supported by confidence. What's the action? Whatever the belief is. If the belief is love thy neighbor, then in order to act on that, you're going to have to do something kind towards your neighbor. Start saying, Lord, I pray for my neighbor. Lord, I love my neighbor. Yeah, but their dog is barking all night. Lord, I pray for my neighbor. I love my neighbor. I forgive my neighbor. And Lord, I pray that my neighbor forgives me because I got things that need to be forgiven. See, you start acting on that. You don't just agree with it. And then you become a mountain mover. And that's what God really wants us to do. He wants us to move mountains. And this song is by New Spirit. And it's Move, Mountain Move. Listen to the words. It'll bless you.
Bondage of death,
mountain move
to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Mountain.
That's New Spirit, Mountain Move. Move, Mountain Move. I'll tell you something, that'll teach you. You can go back and listen to this podcast again and again and listen to that song over and over and over. And I'll tell you something, that'll be a blessing because it'll teach you how to live by faith. And there's certain things that we are not to tolerate. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from these things. And so we need to stand against them. And the way you do that is you speak to them. You speak to mountains. God calls things that are not as though they were. And so what are the things that God calls that are not as though they were? The promises. Every promise. When God gives a promise, he tells us, call that which be not as though it were. And a lot of people, they positive thinking and mental religions and all that, they tell you to deny the existence of certain things. You know, I don't believe in sickness. I don't believe in that. Well, doesn't matter. The sickness is there. Doesn't matter. The curse is here. Doesn't matter. There's junk everywhere. You can say, well, I deny it. You know, I don't acknowledge it. Well, you know, that doesn't do anything. What we have, though, is a promise of God that's bigger than that. And we acknowledge the promise. That's the thing that be not, is the promise of God. You know, if your child is not serving God, and the Bible said that, you know, when you train up a child in the way that they shall go, and when they get older, they won't depart from it, and say, well, that hasn't happened to me yet. Well, you got to hold on to that promise. And you, that's the thing that be not. And you call that thing that be not as though it were. And if you're needing a job and you say, Lord, I'm praying because you said in Philippians 4:13 that you would, I can do all things through Christ. And Philippians 4:19 said you'd supply all my needs. And so, Lord, on the basis of Philippians 4:19, I'm a giver, I'm a tither, so I'm trusting the promise of God that you'll supply all my need, and one of my needs is a job. So I trust you for that, and that's the thing that be not right now, and I'm going to call it as though it were. And by faith, I believe I receive. And that's what the beautiful thing about faith is. Faith takes the promise of God and holds on to it. And somebody said, well, I don't know what the promises are. Well, you hang around. You're going to find out some. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That'll get you well. So, well, you can't stand on that, Pastor. That's one scripture. Okay, you got so many others that go with it. You have in the book of Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken Isaiah the prophet, himself bore our sicknesses and carried away our diseases. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blessed be his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. And then Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. These are just some scriptures on healing that you can hold on to. It's medication for your meditation, so you can receive healing for your body. And the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving you some examples. And if the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, then I have love. I just need to release it. If I'm having a hard time loving somebody or getting along with somebody, just, Father, I release the love of God that's on the inside of me. The love of God, Romans 5:5 has been shed abroad in my heart. And Lord, I'm releasing that love right now. It's a choice. It's an act of my will. I release it for this person that's antagonizing me. And I just forgive. I choose to forgive. You said, pray for those who despitefully use me and pray for those who persecute me. So all these things I'm saying, if you don't can't remember them right now, you can go back, get the podcast and listen to it over and write it down. But the point is, you have to take something that you cannot see except by the promise. That's the way you see it. And then you speak the promise and it gets into your heart. And when the heart and the mouth connect, faith is born. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. Your head can be going, oh boy, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. God's not going to give you a job. God's not going to supply your needs. God's not going to bring your children to the Lord. God's not going to use you to do great things in the earth. But your heart's going, I believe in God. I believe in the Lord. See, you tell your mind, you take some 2-core 10-4. Yeah, that's our sponsor. You take some 2-core 10-4 and you cast that thought down. And because 2-core 10-4 has casting down power. And you cast it down. And you take it into captivity. And all of a sudden, this wonderful faith just rises up. Faith says what God says. And you begin to say what God says. He said it first, and you say it second. Hallelujah. We're not dreaming things up. We're not making things up. We're saying what God says. So we're going to do that. And this is a song by David Ingalls. It's very simple. It says, faith says what God says. This is more of a teaching song. So get your pen and paper out. Take some notes. This is David Ingalls. Faith says what God says.
Should fear bring display to frighten away your hope and your trust in the Lord? Upward fix your gaze, give to God your praise while you stand in the strength of His Word.
Faith says
what God says, that nothing is impossible.
What God says,
regardless of the circumstance in view, He only needs a heart that will believe Him, obedient to speak His promise. Or test come to challenge your health, invade the very temple of the Lord. Take courage and be bold, tell infirmity to go while you stand in the strength of God's word. The circumstance in view, He only needs a heart that will believe Him, obedient to speak His promise through.
Faith says
what God says.
Impossible to you.
darkness of night, you can fight the good fight. Presenting God's word like a sword. Let your heart agree as you dare to decree. I'm not under the curse anymore. The circumstance in view. He only needs a heart that will believe him, obedient to speak his promise through. Faith says,
faith says
what God says, that
yeah, faith says what God says. That's what faith is all about. That's what Bible faith is all about. It's trusting God, believing his word, needing no other evidence. God said it. Somebody said it this way. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And in our minds and in our hearts, sometimes at first it's harder to believe. But I love what Brother Hagin used to say. He called it schooling yourself in faith. You know, just you do go to algebra and you didn't get every concept right away and go, oh, well, I didn't get that, so I ain't going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. No, you had to study. You had to keep going over. And the Bible says in Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes some application. But you see, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit is sent back to the church to help us. He's the great teacher of the Bible. You know, when you are hearing teaching, you're saying, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. Oh, he's the comforter. He's the helper. He's the standby. He's the advocate. And he helps us to understand the things that God would teach us. And so we need to trust what God is saying and believe what God is saying with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will help us. And that's why the Holy Spirit was poured out. The Holy Spirit was poured out to be the teacher of the church. Isn't that right? I like the scripture. It says, you have no need for a man to teach you. And people say, well, I don't even have to go to church because, you know, the Holy Spirit's my teacher. But that's not what he was talking about. And there's things that God uses earthly teachers to teach us things. No problem with that. But God is the one that is the real instructor by the Holy Spirit. And when we trust him to unveil God's word to us, then we have the strength of God to believe every promise that God is giving to us. And faith is starting to work because we've applied our heart to it. And we're listening to the Holy Spirit as he teaches us, because the Holy Spirit knows how to impart everything. I love examples that people give are incredible. I just heard something today from a brother who told me, you know, it was a very simple thing. And it was a very simple illustration about his car. And he was going to put some tape on his car. And this thing kept breaking. And he felt like, you know, the Lord's telling him, don't put tape on that. Don't put tape on that. And so he took it to the dealership. And guess what the dealership did? The dealership, they said, hey, we'll fix that for free. And so he got his car fixed for free. And the Holy Spirit showed him, said, I told you not to put tape on that. And somebody said, well, God really get that involved with your life? Oh, yeah. But then the Holy Spirit showed him, you're putting tape on other things in your life, on real things, things that can hurt you, things that belong to relationships and things like that. And so when we do that, we're just using tape when God, by his Spirit, can show us how to, okay, don't touch that. Get your hands off of that. Now I want you to say this about that from now on. You say this about your son. You say this about your daughter. You say this about your car. You say this about your future. That's a beautiful word right there. What is my future going to be? Man, I'm a loser. I did it wrong, and I'm going to be in the poorhouse, and nobody's going to hire me. Nobody's going to do nang, 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 all that stuff. Instead of saying, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, yeah. Call unto me, Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I'll show you exceeding great and mighty things which you don't know. So, Lord, we call upon you right now. I just feel like that's a word for everybody. Let's just huddle up. Let's just huddle around the microphone right here. Okay, here we go. We're all huddled up. Praise the Lord. And we're just having a huddle right now. We're not going to curse our future. Let's just say it out loud. I'm not going to curse my future. Say it out loud. I'm not going to curse my future. I'm not going to curse my future. No, in the name of Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to ask God for his will. So we're all huddled up. We're all huddled up around the microphone. Okay, here we go. Let's stand on this word. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. There's several scriptures we could stand on, but I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's right, Jeremiah 29:11. The Amplified Bible says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of welfare and peace, and not of evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Isn't that good? I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. They're plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what another translation says. The plans for peace and not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. So we're setting ourselves in agreement right now, Jeremiah 29:11, that God is going to do this. And the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit just put that on my heart right now. So let's go ahead and let's believe the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let's get filled with the Holy Spirit right now. And while we're in agreement with Jeremiah 29:11, that's our, you got to write that down and think about that. Meditate on it. Declare it. And that's speaking to the mountain of the future that's trying to take away your future in the name of Jesus, because God has something great for your future. But we want to believe the promise of God. And this is Hillsong. And it's a kind of a lively song, but we're going to believe the promise. Come on now.
Oh,
Yeah, that's Hillsongs. And I believe the promise about the visions and the dreams. You know, that's the language of faith, is visions and dreams. When the Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up to speak, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions. Yeah, dream dreams and see visions. And upon your servants and handmaidens. That's you ladies too. Come on now. Yeah, I'll pour out of my spirit and they shall prophesy. When you prophesy, man, that means to bubble forth. It means to burst forth like it's like a teapot on the stove, and it's going, and it's just singing and bursting forth because there's something on the inside that's hotter than it was before. Glory to God. And it reached a boiling point, and I gotta do it. And so you prophesy of the things that shall happen. You speak forth to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. And whereas before you were just wringing your hands and saying, woe is me, I can't do anything about it. I lost my job, I lost my cat, I lost my dog. Everything's turned around for me. And that's, you know, that may have happened. And God bless you, you know. If that's happened to you, if you've been devastated and you've hit a spot in your life where it just seems totally impossible, I want you to know the comfort of man. If you've listened long enough to this broadcast, you're gonna get something very powerful. Oh yeah, if this hasn't scared you away by now, you're gonna get something very powerful. Oh, I'm telling you, because the Holy Spirit can change that. He can absolutely change it. What Satan meant for evil, you can turn it around for good. And God can show you some great things. And that's what we're believing God for. Because no matter where you start in faith, there's something that God has to say to all of us. And I love this song by Leon Patillo. And it's called Have Faith. It's talking about some people start in a tough spot. But you know what? God's there for each person. No matter where you are, He has a word and a promise just for you. Leon Patillo.
Sorry to hear about your trouble.
Thank you.
Let's have faith, Leon Petillo. And that's true. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And that's the promise of the Lord, that we can walk in that kind of authority, we can walk in that kind of grace, and walk in that kind of faith, and see God do amazing things in our life. And boy, even when we have the toughest times, God is so sensitive to us to put his arm around us by the Holy Spirit, but not only just to put his arm around us, you know, he can do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think. He can do that. He does that. And that's why we need to rise up to where he is, to think a higher thought, to think a higher thought and get a higher way. And if we just have what we have, we'll always have what we have. That'll preach. If we just have what we have, we'll always have what we have. And if all you'll listen to and hear about is what you have, then you always have what you have. But if you go to a higher place and you go up to that higher place, way up there, that higher place, yeah, where God sits upon his throne and his word, and he gives you a promise, then let me tell you something. Something beautiful will happen. That's what God's done to us. He's given us a beautiful promise and a beautiful plan. And it comes through Team Edify. And Team Edify, God's given us this little, it's the silliest, in one sense, thing. It's a simple thing, not silly, but it's a simple thing. It's just a button, an Edify button. And it's a colorful Edify button. And I've already had good reports of people witnessing and things have happened as a result of wearing these. And you don't have to wear them, but, you know, it inspires you. It creates conversation, but it also tells you, you know, I'm here to edify people. I'm not part of the problem. I'm part of the answer. I'm being sent out by God as part of the answer. And you can walk up to somebody. This is what happened. The guy walked up and said, hey, have you been edified recently? He said, what's that? He goes, well, it's when God touches your heart and makes something beautiful happen. The guy said, oh, really? And he prayed the prayer of salvation with him. And that's as simple as it can be. 1, 2, 3. But, you know, this is just an idea God has given us to take the word of edification and to cause an explosion to happen, and it's happening, and we want you to be a part of it with Team Edify. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, despair, because Team Edify has taken over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each day. As a team member, you'll receive our unique and colorful Edify button, lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify Revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times, full of deception, lies, and depression, but we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org.
Hey, Greg, check this out. If I rub these two sticks together, I could get fire. Look at this. Whoa, wow.
Hey, man, that's pretty cool. But if I lift these two hands up, I get the Holy Ghost and fire.
It is time to cast off works, darkness.
Yes, we're back again, and celebrating the times and seasons of our life in Christ, because we are believers. And, you know, when you start thinking of yourself as a believer and not a doubter, that's when you start, you stepped over the line. You've stepped over the place where you're not in mental ascent anymore, but you're actually believing. You have overcoming faith. Faith really doesn't need the word overcomer in front of it or behind it or back of it, because it is. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But because the church world has substituted the word faith for mental assent, mentally agreeing, we enlarge upon it and call it overcoming faith or faith that overcomes. And when you truly believe in the Lord, you have faith that overcomes. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And there's action given to faith. And so that's when we start living the high life in Jesus. Well, we're out of time. You know, we have so much more in our stack of things here and songs that we want to do. We're just going to have to do part two tomorrow. That's all there is to it. Hey, we're so glad you joined in with us today and logged on to this podcast. Tell somebody else about it. Share it with somebody. I'm telling you something. You listen to these, it'll build your faith up. God has gifted musicians to sing songs that minister to our heart. And sometimes when you put them all together in a certain way, it's like a concentration of power and glory. And I know it touches me and touches my life and flips my switch, as if you will. And, you know, that's what we want. We want people's their switch flipped on. Keep the switch of faith turned on and shout the victory. And tell somebody that Jesus is Lord. Hey, we got to go. It's been great. But it's time. Remember, it's time to keep telling people. Keep telling people the greatness of our God. That's what we're going to keep telling them. And just tell them that God's up to something good and he wants to use you in the kingdom of God as well. Till next time, bless you. Don't put anything off. Start acting on it now, because it is time.